The April jobs report is out. Are we doing well? Let's find out. MSU economics professor Dr. Charles Ballard joins us. Dr. Ballard, welcome to your morning wake up.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, April jobs report. Do summer job openings skew this yet, or is that does end more like in May?
No, I think the summer job openings probably won't be reflected in this.
Okay.
But we'll see how it does go. Very interesting to see how things progress in the next couple months, because the April report, an increase of 175,000 jobs. Now, that's pretty good in and of itself.
Seems like it.
But it is less than a lot of analysts had expected. So it is something of a slowdown. A lot of folks are taking that as pretty good news, because the Federal Reserve has been trying to slow down the economy. That's been the whole idea. We got inflation because the economy was overheated. The inflation has moderated substantially, but not all the way back to the Fed's target. And so somewhat slower growth is actually good news. What we want to avoid is a whole lot slower growth, and that remains to be seen.
So they were looking at, if I remember right, they were looking at 300-something thousand jobs, right?
That, well, they thought would be added. Analysts had different numbers. A lot of them were in the 250 kind of range.
Okay.
So 175 is less than expected, yeah. and less than many of the previous months. But there's been a gradual slowdown after the frenetic changes of a few years ago as we were coming out of the COVID recession. We averaged growth of about 600,000 a month in 2021, 375,000 a month in 2022, and 250,000 a month in 2023. So this is consistent with a long-term slowdown in growth, which is really what you would expect as a normal part of the business cycle, because you can't have gangbusters growth forever.
Right. And the sector that has the highest job growth, what takes up most of those 175,000 jobs?
Well, the healthcare sector continues to really be very strong. That's really partly, it's a short-term thing, but it's partly a long-term effect of the fact that our population is aging, that we have changes in medical technology, and so there are a lot of job openings there. But really, it's many sectors. It's not just a single sector. This is a fairly broad-based advance in employment.
Okay. And the healthcare sector, let's just focus on that for a second, because we always hear today is Nursing Day, National Nurses Day. But we always hear there's a shortage of nurses, shortage of doctors. So where's these healthcare jobs?
Well, some of them are doctors, some are nurses, but there's an awful lot of jobs in, phlebotomists, in orderlies. The healthcare sector is incredibly diverse in the range of, you've got dental hygienists, all sorts of jobs in that sector.
Yeah, I tend to forget. When you say healthcare sector, I think doctors, nurses, boom, done.
Right.
There's a lot involved there.
If you're pushing the gurney at a hospital, you're a healthcare worker. If you're emptying bedpans, you're a healthcare worker. There's just a huge amount. And as our population ages, that's not a trend that I think is going to reverse anytime soon.
Yeah. How much is big pharma involved in that, though? You know, the healthcare industry and these giant pharmaceutical companies. If you work for one of those, do you get to say your job is in the healthcare industry?
Now, that is a good question. No. If you're producing the drugs, you're not in the healthcare sector, I believe. Don't bet the farm on that, because I might need to look up the details. But I believe that the people who actually make the drugs, that would be in the manufacturing sector.
I got you. Don't bet the pharma on it. Okay, I just
don't bet the pharma on it.
Did you see what I did?
No pun intended.
Dr. Charles, thank you. Dr. Charles Ballard and I will be doing a comedy act. We're going on the road. MSU economics professor. I will be the guy who brings you on, and then you just do the economic comedy. What about government jobs? Now, I always say, whenever you see the jobs numbers come out, if there's a big growth, government and healthcare are like the two top things.
Well, government actually, I wouldn't say always. Sometimes there's growth in government, but we've had lots of months, lots of quarters where government employment doesn't change or doesn't grow. If it grew all the time, then we'd all have government jobs. The government, again, is a very varied sector. If you're driving a street sweeper for some of our municipalities, if you're fixing roads and bridges, you're a government worker. Most teachers are government workers. The people at the county community health facilities, those are government workers. So it's another sector. I mean, I guess one of the themes of our conversation this morning is the astonishing diversity of the things that people do in different parts of our economy.
Yeah, yeah. The hottest growth, though, is right now you're saying healthcare. Number two, I suppose, would be, I don't know, construction. What about the trades? The trades have been growing a little.
Yes, and that's a good thing. And I think for as a long-term proposition, the word, I think, is finally getting out, that you can make a very good living and you can really contribute to your society by being a plumber, an electrician, a craftsperson. I think that there was a time when we kind of went overboard on emphasizing a four-year college degree. And as somebody who spent most of his life working at MSU, I have nothing against four-year college degrees. but those aren't the only thing. And there's lots of employment, and I think lots of employment in the trades. And what we're I think coming to see more clearly as a society is that if the toilet doesn't flush, that's not good.
You can have
all of the computer systems analysts that you want, but You got to be able to flip the switch and have the lights come on, and you got to be able to have your plumbing work. And so I'm privileged to know personally some people who work in the trades, great folks. I expect that is a sector that will continue to see lots of job opportunities.
As the economics professor, an economics professor at MSU, Dr. Charles Ballard, coming through your classroom, typical kid coming in, does he have any idea what he's getting into when he gets into economics? You know, his advisors have said, well, you know, you've got an aptitude there for balancing for money. My nephew, this is all he ever wanted to do. I didn't understand it, but I'll tell you what, he went for it. Economics is, I don't even balance our own books here at the Austin Family Compound. So what kind of, I mean, the kids coming in, do they know what they're in for?
Some do. I think most have only a fairly vague idea. I've taught so many students over the years that I've seen just about everything. But, you know, my own experience. More years ago than I will tell your listeners, I took Econ 101 and 102 when I was a freshman in college. I didn't have hardly any idea about what I was getting into. I think it depends upon your family background. If your parents work in financial services or in some kind of business, they might talk to you about those things before you go to college. But my parents didn't. My dad was a chemist, so we talked about other things. My parents talked to me about baseball and football, not so much about economics. So some students are really into that and know what they're getting into. Some have had a high school course, although I have to tell you, the high school courses vary widely in their quality. So some students actually get something out of the high school course in economics, others not so much. So when they come to my class, I would say that most of them have only a fuzzy idea of what they're getting into. And for me, one of the biggest challenges is that many of them have heard rumors. Oh, this is really hard. It's abstract. It's a whole lot of math. And I try to dissuade them about those ideas. I try to say, look, this is about how the markets work that determine the price of corn. This is who goes into what job and how much they make. It's about what effect will those tariffs have on the price of the stuff that you find at the department store. It's about your life. It's about the ordinary business of life. And so that's one of my big goals as a teacher.
I would say even efficiency in business. I mentioned my nephew, Matthew. This is all he ever wanted to do, economics. I was like, I don't understand. Where are you getting this from? Because nobody in the family does this, right? He went off high school. He did well. He went off and got into a class like yours down in Illinois. And the first job he got out of college was traveling around as an auditor, going to companies and sitting and going through. And I think he went through their books. I don't know. It was him and three other people. And they sat there with laptops and they did auditing. But he got to travel the country for his job. Well, and
that's one of the many, many things that you can do with some training in economics. Sounds like he had a good accounting background. Those forensic accountants and business accountants, there's a lot of demand for their services.
Mm. What would you say to a young person? And I know we wanted to get on the whole jobs report and everything, but I think we covered that. I mean, if we didn't cover everything, let me know. But this is exceedingly interesting to me. A young person graduating now, within the last week or two or coming up, they're thinking maybe this is where I'm headed, or they definitely want to have it. What would you say to them coming into your class? What are you saying to them right now?
Well, one thing that I would say is if you're graduating and you're 21 or 22 years old, you've still got some time to figure things out. There are those who go into one career and they have one job with one company. You know, that used to be a big deal around mid-Michigan. There were lots of people who went to work for General Motors, and they did the same job for 30 or more years. That's increasingly uncommon. It does happen still, but that doesn't happen nearly as much as it used to. And so if you think of your college as just training for one job, I think you're putting yourself into a box. I think it's much better if you think of college as providing training and thought processes for dealing with all sorts of situations. And that may lead to a lifetime job, but it may lead to a series of jobs. And in fact, an awful lot of young people go through a process of what we call job shopping. You know, they work at something for a year or so, and you know, that was okay, but then they move on to something else. And so I think in today's world, flexibility is one of the biggest things that you can bring to your budding career that will make a difference for you.
You're a cool cat to talk to, Dr. Ballard. I dig this. And okay, one last thing. I thought I had the last thing, one last thing. What about entrepreneurism? What about the kid who's got that idea? Maybe, you know, we want to nurture that. I don't know. Do you see that much?
Oh, yes. And I think I think there's been an increasing emphasis in a lot of our business schools. There are courses on entrepreneurism or entrepreneurial activity. We have a very dynamic economy. The U.S. economy, the biggest feature of it in the last couple of centuries is that it's the most dynamic, the most energetic and entrepreneurial economy that the world has ever seen. And most people don't have that entrepreneurial spirit, because if you're an entrepreneur, you go off on your own, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yep.
Most new businesses, about half of new businesses fail. So you have to be prepared for that. But if you're good at it, you can really contribute a lot to your economy.
Dr. Charles Ballard, MSU economics professor. Job numbers are maybe not what a lot of folks want, but they're not sneezable. 175,000 jobs out there. Hey, Doc, let's talk again soon. I like this. I like this. Yeah,
sounds
we'll let
good.
You go, though. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
See ya.
Yep.
Mike Austin on your morning wake up, 1320 WILS.